Now, if you'd open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 11 and read through verse 21. I'd like us to consider today the subject, what makes life worth living? What makes life worth living? Galatians 2 and verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the flesh of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'd like us to think primarily about the last, about verse 20, but verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what makes life worth living? How contented are you with your own life today? We have come to a time when probably have more money and more opportunities and more worldly goods and more material things than we've ever had before in our lives. And yet, those kinds of things do not really give people peace and contentment and make their lives worth living. Some things are more important than money and possessions and prestige and anything else you want to think of. In many places today, they're rioting in the streets. They're trying to overthrow governments around the world, it seems. And so people are discontented. They're dissatisfied. They're unhappy. Do you ever feel like yourself life's not worth living? Have you ever thought that ever in your life at all? Sometimes we think, how much worse can it get? And you might have thought, if I could just die and get out of this situation, I'd be better off. But yet not many of us are volunteering to die early, right? We want to be here as long as we can. So what makes life really worth living? Many commit suicide year by year. And I don't know what causes a person to commit suicide. I know some preachers condemn those who commit suicide to hell automatically. I don't think that's proper. I always say if that happens, their soul's in the hand of a just God. And I can only remember ever having one funeral where the person, the deceased, had actually committed suicide. And of course, people were judging him because because he did that, but I'm not to be the judge. I don't know. But obviously, sometimes people come to the place where they feel like life really is not worth living. A lot of churches today seem to be succumbing to the trend of the day and want to have these modern update services or contemporary services. And sometimes I wonder if they're just being entertained and not really being ministered to spiritually. But there again, God only knows that. I don't know. But I'm thankful for an old-fashioned church like this where we don't have to hoot and holler and scream and shout and dance and all that kind of stuff. And we can just, you know, come and sing songs like we just sang and study the Bible and be blessed that way. And hopefully we're honoring God and worshiping God and not trying to attract attention to ourselves. Three things I'd like to suggest that I believe helps a lot in making life worth living. First of all, we must know the person, Jesus Christ. We must know the person, Jesus Christ. Not just know about Him, but we must know Him in a personal relationship. We must exercise personal faith in Him. And so Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And so real life comes from a proper personal relationship to Jesus Christ Himself. Notice in Philippians chapter 3, if you turn over a couple books in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 3, no, Philippians, rather. I'm getting all confused up here. Philippians chapter 3, Paul said that I may know Him in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3. That was his goal, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. And so I think Paul's main goal was that he would personally know Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God made the way to have faith in Christ very simple. It's not complicated. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John said, as many as received him, referring to the word Jesus Christ, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house, in Acts 16:31. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the way is simple. We must believe and receive, and Jesus will come into our hearts and forgive us of our sins. Quite a few years ago, after I left this church back in the early 60s and moved to McCall, Alabama, Brother Frank McClellan was pastoring our Southern Methodist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And he called me on a Wednesday morning and he said, is there any way you can come to Memphis next week and preach for us? He said, we have advertised revival services. And the preacher that was supposed to be coming just called me and said, I can't come. And do you think you could come? Now, this is Wednesday morning, starting the next weekend. I said, I'll let you know after prayer meeting tonight. And so the church folks told me to go to Memphis, and I went. And I remember he and I went out to visit a young man that had been to the church there. He was pastoring a few times, and he had a little college education. And we were talking to him, and I asked him if he would like to know how he could be a Christian. And I said this, and that was only of the Holy Spirit, because I didn't know what was going to happen. I said, if you're not really serious about this, if I tell you the plan of salvation, it'll do you more harm than good. I want to know how I can be a Christian. I said, okay. And so I began to share some Bible verses with him. Now think of this. I quoted to him John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He got up out of his chair, he came, stood in my face, and he said, you have insulted my intelligence. Think about it. I just turned to Brother McClellan, shook my head. I didn't say any more to him. There's nothing else I could say. Obviously, he didn't really want to know how to be a Christian. But I had insulted his intelligence by reciting to him the best known scripture verse in all the Bible. Aren't you thankful that the way is simple, that we can have faith? We're saved by faith, not by works, not by keeping the law. But we're saved by simply believing and receiving and trusting in Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to have a life that's worth living, then we need to know the person, Jesus Christ himself. And there's another experience I'll tell you about. That same trip in Memphis, someone gave Brother McClellan the address of one of his long-lost sheep. And he asked me if I'd go with him to try to find this person. I said, I'd be happy to go with you, Brother McClellan. And we found a house, went up on the porch, knocked on the door, and this little old grumpy lady came to the door. And Brother McClellan said, I'm Pastor McClellan, such church. I'm looking for Mr. So-and-so. And she said in a very curt way, he doesn't live here. He never has lived here. And I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? Now listen to me carefully. She began to stutter. And she said, no. I am a diabetic. That's the honest truth. As Wendy Bagwell would say, with my hand raised, that's the truth. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, if you'll give your heart to Jesus, he'll forgive your sins. And when he comes back, he'll give you a brand new body. And he'll take away that diabetic body. And you know what happened? She slammed the door in our faces and we left. Now, that's the only person that ever told me in asking the question, are you a Christian? I'm a diabetic. I've had a lot of people give me a lot of answers, but only that one time has that ever happened. But that actually did happen. And if you have any doubts about it, check with Brother Frank McClellan, and I'm sure he will remember that. So we need to trust Jesus to come into our hearts by faith. And then we need to seek to have fellowship with him. How often do you seek the Lord? How often do you try to have fellowship with Jesus Christ? We enjoy fellowship with one another, right? And that's why we have fellowship dinners and fellowship suppers here at the church, so we can come together and fellowship one with another. Have you ever thought about just taking your Bible and just sitting down by yourself and read either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of the four Gospels? Just read the whole book through at one sitting. And as you do so, think about Jesus, his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. Fellowship with him through reading his word, reading about him, that you might get to know him even better. we need to seek God in prayer. We need to pray for ourselves, pray for our wives, pray for our children, pray for our grandchildren, pray for our church family, pray for our pastor. A lot of things we need to pray about. But the question is, do we spend time in prayer day by day seeking to know Jesus better through talking to Him in prayer and waiting long enough to let Him whisper back to us? Somehow, only He can do that. So if we're going to have a life that's worth living, then first of all, we must know the person, Jesus Christ. So do you know Him today? We should sing a little song at the camp. Maybe we sang it here. I'm not sure in the league. Do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that you've been born again? Does the Spirit dwell within, bearing witness that you've been? Are you ready if the Lord should come today or He should claim your soul today? Do you know that you've been born again? I remember many years ago preaching a revival meeting in Mullen, South Carolina, and going to do a house visit. And there was a young girl there who had, best I remember, was cerebral palsy. And I said to this young girl, I don't remember her name, "Are you sure that you know Jesus in your heart?" And listen to what she told me. She said, "I am positively certain that I know Jesus as my Savior." Nobody's ever told me that any clearer than that. I am positively certain that He is my Savior. So, do you know Him today? Life's not really worth living if you don't know Him. Oh, you can exist and you can enjoy some things in life and have some fun, perhaps. But your life is not really worthwhile until you come to know Christ in your heart as your own personal Savior. Secondly, we need to know the purpose of Christ. Why did He come? What was His mission? John chapter 17, if you'd like to turn, and beginning at verse 1. John 17 and verse 1. This is what we think of usually as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. John 17, 1, "These words spake Jesus and said, and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee." And so one of the purposes of Jesus' life was to glorify His Father. Though He was co-equal with His Father as far as the Trinity was concerned. But He said, "I want to do the purpose, the will that God, my Father, has for me." And remember when He was on the cross, right before He died, He said three words, didn't He? "It is finished. I finished my Father's will. I finished the purpose that He had for my life, to come into this world and give my life a ransom for sinners." Jesus also had as His purpose to draw men and women, boys and girls to Himself, that He might give to them eternal life. So what is your purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? If we want to have a life that's worth living, then we need to seek to know the purpose of why we're here, what God wants us to do, to be involved in His work, and to bring glory to our Heavenly Father in this life also. You know, it's rather sad, and I don't have the statistics, but I just know from observation over the years, not very many of us Christians are very concerned about talking to other folks about their relationship to Jesus Christ. We don't hire a preacher to do that. That's not his job. The pastor's job is to feed the flock. That's not all of his job, but that's part of it. To teach us how to do what we need to be doing, to telling others about the Lord Jesus. Can you think of just one soul? Just one soul that you've had the privilege to share the plan of salvation and they accepted Christ Jesus and became a new creature in Christ Jesus? Do you know if your wife's a Christian or your husband's a Christian, your children, your grandchildren? Because you've asked them, not just assumed. So if life is going to be worth living, and somebody remind me I need to quit at 12, we need to know the person, Jesus Christ. We need to know the purpose of Jesus Christ. And then third and quickly, we need to know the peace of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 27, John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus said, "I want you to have peace. I want to give it to you. I'm not selling peace, I'm giving it." But sometimes we refuse and reject what the Lord wants to give us, don't we? Do you have peace in your heart today? Or are you troubled? Discouraged perhaps, depressed, whatever? Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, I give it to you." It's free. I remember the first time I went to surgery was over here at the local hospital when my gallbladder, something happened to it, and I just kind of fell apart. But anyway, I thought, you know, here by myself, my family's in Virginia, and I figured I'd be a basket case to be rolled down the hall to go to surgery. I can honestly say, and I can't explain this, I really can't, but I have never felt more peaceful in my life than I did that morning when they were rolling me down the hall to the operating room. I'd prayed a lot, because I was in the flesh, I was afraid, but the Lord just gave me like an overwhelming peace in that experience. I had a member in the church at Florence. His name was Jimmy Bear. Some of you might have met him over the years. He was a great, great father. He was an all-American sort of guy, clean cut. He was a CPA by profession. Very intelligent. I'll illustrate how I think he was so intelligent. One year I was trying to do the annual conference report and I couldn't get it to balance. And Brother Bear was the treasurer of the church in Florence, and I went to him and I said, "Brother Bear, I can't get this report to balance." You know what he told me? He said, "Brother Adams, if you go back to last year's report and look at line so-and-so," he didn't have it before him, "you'll find you made a mistake last year. If you'll go back and correct that, it'll balance." I thought, man, I ain't believing this. But it did. Anyway, he ended up with leukemia and lymphoma and was taken to Bowman Gray Hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And one day his wife called me and she said, I always called me Brother Adams. I said, Brother Adams, Jimmy would like for you, if you can arrange it, to get two or three preachers and two or three lay people to come up here to the hospital and anoint him with oil and pray with him. I pray over him. I pray around him. And I said, okay, I'll try to get all that worked out. And that's how I did. And so there were three ministers and three lay people. And we drove up to the hospital in North Carolina. Brother Bob Stevenson was one of the ministers, a most godly man. On the way back, we stopped for a little pit stop. And Brother Bob said to me, he said, Brother LeGrand, I don't usually peep when we pray. But said when we were around his bed and we were praying, I just thought of peep. He called him Jimmy. And said he was just laying there just as peaceful. And he said the Lord was just ministering unto him. And I was just so blessed, he said. He didn't live very many months. He passed away and left three sons and a wife. He was greatly missed in the church and in the community. But peace, peace, peace. Sometimes we sing the song, Wonderful Peace, one of the hymns in our songbook. If life is to be worthwhile, and I got about a minute, Tim, we must know the person, Jesus Christ. We must know the purpose of Jesus Christ. And we need to know the peace of Christ. Do you know him today? Are you seeking to fulfill God's will for your life? The purpose he has for you being here on this earth today? Do you have peace in your heart? If not, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he said, I'll give you peace if you'll receive it. I hope you think about these three different P's and maybe they'll help you this week and in weeks to come and help me too. Please stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your plan of redemption. It's not by keeping the law, it's not by works, but it's by trusting Jesus and receiving him personally that we might know him. And so we thank you for sending him for that specific purpose to give his life a ransom for us. And I pray if there's anybody here today who does not have full assurance of his or her salvation, that they will consider seriously the matter of trusting in the Lord Jesus and have their sins forgiven and know that wonderful peace that comes when the burden of sin is lifted from my heart. I thank you for these dear people. I pray you would bless each and all and those whom we represent. I pray you would especially be with Brother Reasoner. Bless and watch over him. I'll be with Brother Beaver. She accompanies him that they might have a fruitful ministry in that which you have for them to do. Use each of our lives to glorify yourself, to speak to others about Christ and have the joy of winning somebody to faith in the Lord Jesus. And for that which you do for us, we will give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.